that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, that I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter. He became her son, and she called his name Moses. She said, because I drew him out of the water. Morning, I want to preach a few minutes on the subject, Mother, the Designer of Destinies. It has been said that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. I was thinking about that before daylight this morning and praying about that. I believe it's true. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. How did that happen? A transference of influence, of godliness or wickedness to the next generation. That's what it means. That's what it, mothers, you're more important than you ever dreamed. You are more important. And I know the daily grind, and I know the disappointment of giving birth and seeing your own flesh and blood turn against you, speak evil of you, or neglect you. Maybe that's even worse. Neglect and pretend that you do not exist, that you're not important. I know that must be heartbreak beyond anything that I have ever experienced. But you are important. Don't get discouraged. And I'm telling you, there are career women today that don't want children. Those that they have are in the way, and they are making a negative contribution to the next generation by not tending to their children. But then there are those stay-at-home moms. I know some of you, and most of you work. You younger women especially, you work out of necessity. If you don't have free incomes today, you're in poverty. We all understand that, and we know that, and the government is at fault. But that's not a Mother's Day message. I move on from that, all right? But I'm just telling you, do not let any one of the hags or the nags that's running around with placards in their hands telling you you're not important. You are important, and God knows it, no matter if Washington doesn't. Now, perhaps you've heard of the young single career woman who wrote the book, 10 Rules for Raising Children. Later, she married, and wasn't long till she had a baby. And in the light of her hands-on experience, she revised her book and she renamed it Helpful Hints for Parents. And then several years later, and about 3 children later, she took the book off the market altogether. Can you understand what would... I wouldn't walk across the street to a seminar that a bachelor puts on how to raise children. You understand what I'm talking about? Or how to handle your spouse. I wouldn't bother about it. I want somebody that's been in the trenches. I want somebody that's lived through it. And sometime when we live through things, we change our tune and our outlook. Somebody said, little children, occasional headache. Big children, constant heartache. Moses was a great man. That's a wonderful lead-in to what I was, but I couldn't think of a better one. Moses was a great man, schooled in the arts and the sciences of the most advanced nation of his day. A prince in the palace, a scholar, a warrior, a statesman. We get some of this from secular history. Josephus tells us some things about Moses. A prince, a scholar, a warrior, and a statesman. The Bible calls him the lawgiver. We know he was a poet. We know that he was a prophet. And the Bible tells us, even though I don't understand it, that he talked to God face to face. Now, brother, that puts him in a league by himself almost. Moses, a great man. Be most interesting to know who had the greatest influence upon him. I'll tell you this. It wasn't Pharaoh's daughter. Our text would indicate that it was his mother, Jochebed. That's how that's pronounced. The first part of that is from Jehovah, Yah, Jochebed. And he writes of his mother rather than his father, and he has. And he's written the first five books of the Bible. And he talks about his mother, and he's written about her. Now, the divine wonder of all this is that she brought this child into the world and had him for a short period of time under extreme circumstance. Secondly, it was such a short period of time that she had little Moses. It is an absolute wonder that she had the influence on him that she did. But this testifies of how important the first few months of rearing a child really is. The first few months. That baby is either bonded to its mother in the first few months or it's not bonded, and the rest of it is hell on earth. So it's important. God forbid that we would put our kids in daycares when we can do anything else. Mamas, if you can stay home with that baby the first year, please do it. That's pastoral advice, and I realize there's circumstance where we can't. But it's so important, the formative months of that baby's life, to create that bond. It is lifelong. It is lifelong. And I'm telling you, I have seen enough troubled adults in my life that if you talk to them long enough, you're going to trace back to a problem that they were not bonded to mama or bonded to daddy. Somewhere along the line, something went awry. So it is important. God knew that. And he provided for the lawgiver and the emancipator of Israel to be and to tug at his mother's breast long enough for her to build something into him that God could use for the rest of his natural life. All right? Now, as I read this passage from Hebrews here, I want you to pick out the active verbs. An active verb is, a verb that shows action. Okay, that's about all I know about it. But I want you to notice them. Hebrews 11:24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, when he got to be a grown man, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing, number two, rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect, there we go, number four, under the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured seeing him who is invisible. I've got six verbs there. It requires choice that Moses made as an educated man, as an intelligent, as a mature man. Why? Because his mother influenced him as a baby with a short period of time that he lived with her before Jochebed took him to the palace of Pharaoh's daughter. What an influence that mothers can have on their children for good or bad. Lord Byron's mother was proud, ill-tempered, violent. Now, how did he turn out? Although a famous poet, but the man was a drunken degenerate most of his life. He got a good start because of his mother. Sir Walter Scott's mother was a superior woman, well-educated, a lover of poetry, and a lover of art. And this man made an impact on his generation with his portrait. Now, the mother of Nero was a vengeful murderer, and he became just like her. It is believed, incidentally, that Nero was also a sodomite, a homosexual. And he got some of these inclinations, no doubt, because of the beginning that he had. The mother of George Washington was pious and pure. Susanna Wesley, the mother of John and Charles Wesley, the great Methodist band, known for her intelligence, her piety, her prayers, and her sons literally changed the world, and she's known today as the mother of Methodism. saw a little poem I'd like to read. You've heard it before, but I just refresh your memory. I took a piece of plastic clay and idly fashioned it one day. And as my fingers pressed it still, it moved and yielded to my will. I came again when day was past. The form I gave it, still it bore. And as my fingers pressed it still, I could change that form no more. I took a piece of living clay and gently formed it day by day, and molded with my power and art a young child's soft and yielding heart. I came again when days were gone. It was a man I looked upon. He still that early impress bore, and I could change it never more. Now start trying to bring your kids to heel and under authority when they are 13, 14 years of age. Just cry out to God for mercy, because your life's going to be a living hell on earth. Let me back up here. Don't even start that when they're 5 years old. Start it from the moment of their birth. There are people that talk to their baby before they're born. I don't know about that business, but it wouldn't hurt a thing to read the Bible and to pray. We don't know what that child can hear. We don't know what impressions may be made. My thought to you this morning, don't wring your hands and pull your hair, because you've lost control of them at 3 years of age. It should have started at a month old. Boy, I'm doing good this morning. I mean, I'm really making an impression on somebody this morning. I can tell, because it sure is quiet. Many other great men of history recognize the positive influence of their mother. Theodore Roosevelt, the mother's the most supreme asset of our national life. Thomas Edison, I did not have my mother long, but she cast over me an influence that has lasted all of my life. My mother was the making of me. Dwight David Eisenhower, my sainted mother, taught me a devotion to God and a love for my country, which has sustained me in my lonely and bitter moments of decision in distant and hostile lands. The French sculptor Bartholdi, who created the Statue of Liberty, used his mother as the model. You may not know that. You're blessed if you have a mother that you can safely emulate. That means that you can follow her example as a role model. From my perspective, I say it this morning truthfully, and I've searched my heart, and I've gone the back roads of my memory, and I've tried to think. I started this before my mother ever died. Now, is there anything that I can think of negative about my mother? Friends, I stand here. If I ever saw my mother sin, I can't remember it. If I ever saw my mother do anything to hurt anybody on the face of this earth, I cannot remember it. I'm telling you, my mother, from my perspective, don't argue with me, I said from my perspective, she was near perfect. I cannot remember one thing that I could fault her for this morning. I can't live in her head. I didn't live in her heart. God knows her heart. But I saw no sin. I observed no secret faults. I not only look like her this morning, I sure wish I could be like her. I sure wish I could be like her. But that hasn't been the case. I loved her. This Mother's Day, the first time I observed Mother's Day, well, the first time in 60 years without my mother, and I miss her. I'll tell you one thing, you grow up quick when your mama dies. And you know more about life and death when your mother is gone than you ever knew all the years accumulated. Does something to you. Moses was a great man because he had a great mother. She was a descendant of Levi, the priestly tribe. She and her people have been slaves to Pharaoh now for about 400 years. Had she not been in slavery, her father and her brothers would have been active ministering priests at the altar. And the priest lived as well as anybody in those days. And her life would have been much, much different. She would have lived a life of leisure and recognition. And she would have had plenty. But the fact was that she was a slave, born a slave, married a slave, worked like a slave, worked like a man as she toiled beside her husband in the field and the brickyards of Egypt. I saw my own precious mother do that. I don't know how a woman pregnant with a baby can pull a cotton sack 10 feet long. I don't know how a woman just had a baby can pull a cotton sack 10 feet long, sit on it, and nurse that baby 3 times, 4 times during the day and work beside. I'm telling you, ladies, they used to make them pretty hardy. They used to make them pretty tough because they had it to do. And my mother did all the things the rest of us did, plus keeping house, keeping our clothes clean, and keeping them ironed, and being a wife, and being a mother, and everything that entailed. Slave or no slave, life went on for Jochebed. She found time to make a home. She found time to make a bed, to make a marriage, and make a family, and make children. Because she had a son and a daughter, apparently, when Moses was born. Her greatest fear was realized when the midwife announced that her baby just being born was a baby boy, because it was against the law in that day for babies to live. Instructions from Pharaoh was to kill them all. The midwives were to go in and they were to drown the babies in a bucket of water or choke them or smother them. And it was an attempt at genocide. Friends, we're doing the same thing today. When we abort babies in the womb, we're doing the same thing today. And God brought Egypt into judgment and dealt with them in part because of what they had attempted to do here. And He will judge America. He's already doing that this morning. With the help of God-fearing midwife, Jochebed saved her child. Hebrews 11:23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Love and faith made Jochebed defy the decree of the king, an unjust and cruel law. Faith made Jochebed commit her baby boy to God's oversight. She had faith that God would overrule the ruler. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. If there is an unjust law, there is something that goes against the word of God, you just hang around and live long enough, God will deal with those who make those laws and will bring them all into judgment. You can count on it. God is faithful. She must have prayed constantly during the following days after her baby's birth. I feel it possible that God gave her the plan. How is she going to keep this baby alive? He's growing. He likes to laugh. He likes to cry. How is she going to keep him when he gets hungry? He tells you. When he needs a change, he'll tell you. How is she going to keep him quiet? I believe God dropped it in her heart. I'll make a little ark. She built it well. She poured her heart and soul into this thing. And because her son's destiny was at stake. I can almost see her. She comes in from the field. Folks, it wasn't 6 hours, 8 hours in the field. It was 12 hours more from sun up to sundown. Believe me, there are no mountains in Egypt that I have ever seen. I've been there 2 or 3 times that I've ever seen that would shield the sun. I mean, 12 hours long, up at sun up, out there in the field, in the brick clients. There she worked. Now, she would come home in the evening, and when supper was finished and the clay bowls were washed, she'd start to work on that little ark, selected the best of the bulrushes, weave them into a little life support system for her little boy. Friends, I don't know what Jochebed may have known about the future or about the revelation of God, but somehow I feel like that she had a sense of destiny about this boy. She has to keep him alive. You must understand that human life was not all that important in those days. when they were in slavery. They saw people die every day. But something special about this boy, she was going to keep him alive. God must have been in that. Your modern mothers would take as much care to design and build an ark for their boys and girls today. We wouldn't have as many children killing children. We wouldn't have such an epidemic of drugs, nor as many kids having babies and teenagers killing themselves. Personal observation. We just had some modern mothers that would take as much care as this woman did. God had entrusted mothers with the awesome task of birthing, rearing, and training the next generation. How important you are. Mother, do all you can, and then trust the rest to God. The old Jewish rabbis have a saying, because God could not be every place at once, he invented mothers. That's bad theology, to be sure, but it certainly warms my heart to think when I have no consciousness of God being there, God has lent me a mother. Well, he saw fit to take her own, so I'm on my own now. If you don't like the way I'm doing now, blame it off on God. He took my mother. Moses and his mother had a great God. I close here in a moment. Just think about the last night. Mamas, just think with me here a little bit. Now, if this woman does nothing, time's her enemy. In all probability, this baby's going to be carried off. Some soldier's going to pitch him up in the air and catch him on the end of a sword or a lance, probably right in front of her. She's got to do what she can. What's left to her? She must trust God. That last night must have been a killer. I know enough about the heart of mothers because I feel that way as a father. What the future for this baby? What is going to happen? I put my baby in the Nile. Will a wave cause this thing to turn over? And he's a goner. What if nobody finds him? He's going to starve to death in this little ark. You can't tell me, but that woman probably paced the floor, and every few minutes she would look in the crib, look at that baby with tears streaming down her eyes, down her cheeks. I'm going to have to take my baby and put him in the Nile River tomorrow. I believe she had her prayer meeting. There's some of you mothers right here that have done the same thing. You've walked the floor and you've cried over situations concerning your children. When the final tally was in, you got down to brass tacks, you had nothing to do but to trust God. You had to put them in God's hands. That's where Jochebed was here. As she places this child in this little ark that she had made. And I believe she probably got up early while the fog was still on the River Nile. She got up undetected. And she and little Miriam now, I don't know how old she was, but probably about the size of some of these young ladies here. And she goes along. They slip out early before anybody awakened. These slaves went to work at daylight. And she places this ark as close to the river's edge as she can, hides him in some bulrushes, and she says to Miriam, you stay here and see what happens. You stay here and watch. And lo and behold, accident? I don't think so. I think God had a hand in it. Here comes the Pharaoh's daughter. She's soft and pretty and pampered, but she comes down to wash herself in the sacred river of the Nile. She's practicing her religion, and she comes out with her maidens, and she's in the water, and she is bathing herself, or they're pouring water over her. And she heard a cry of a baby. She sent out one of the maidens to look and discovered the little ark, and there he was. Hadn't had a diaper change since daylight, before daylight. Here he was, hadn't been fed since early that morning. And he's raising a fuss. And so they took the baby up, discovered he was a baby. And here was little Miriam. She popped up, said, you know what? I believe I could find a mother for that child among the Hebrew women. She knew that was a Hebrew baby, the Pharaoh's daughter. And so little Miriam said, I'll get you a mother. And guess who she went to? Oh, isn't God wonderful? Because there was a destiny about this child, and this mother was a planner of destiny. She was a part of God's great big plan. There's not a one of us this morning that stands apart from God's plan. We're all a part of it this morning. As time marches on, little events, big events. I don't care what happens, crises or what takes place in your life. It is a part of the overall process. Overall process. I believe that, and you're a part of it this morning. This woman was a designer of destinies because she acted the part of a mother. And what a wonderful part she played. That ark represents and illustrates the sovereignty of God, demonstrates the power of God to break the fetters of bondage. Pharaoh's decree was futile when God moved. He killed a lot of babies, but there was one escape. I remember another time when Herod, that old butcher, was killing every baby he'd get his hands on. But there's one escape, and we know him as the Lord Jesus Christ. What a type Moses was, one who escaped, and God did it. Where are the mighty pharaohs of today that once ruled the kingdom by the Nile? Where is the power that was once mighty Egypt? Gone and forgotten. Did you know today Egypt is probably one of the poorest nations apart from places like Rwanda or some of these African countries have known the terror of war. It's probably the poorest nation on the face of the earth. And in Moses' day, it was one of the most powerful. I'm telling you, God brought him into judgment. God brought him into judgment. But he spared Moses because God had a plan for him to be the deliverer of his people. Those Jews survived today because of Moses. They survived Egyptian bondage. They survived Babylonian captivity. They survived the bloodthirsty behavior of the Herods, of the Hamans, of the Hitlers. And this week, bless God forever, this week, they celebrate their golden jubilee anniversary of 50 years in the nation again, a sovereign nation that is so important to everything that's happening right now. Brother, there's very little happening in this world that doesn't affect Israel right now. They are affecting destiny, glory, because God had a big plan. But look how close it came. Woo-wee. Hallelujah. But Mama played her role, and God honored her and saved the day. Saved the day. Bow your hearts with me and pray. Mother, are you influencing your children positively today? What is your life saying to them? When you're dead and gone, will you be forgotten? Some mothers I know of are stuck away someplace and out of sight and out of mind, and kids don't care a thing about them. Don't even go by to see them. May live in the same town. Never lay eyes on their mother. Stuck away someplace waiting for her to die. But when you're gone, will your children rise up and call you blessed? Will your son, 60 years of age, stand and make a fool out of himself before a congregation of people and just bawl because he remembers you with love and devotion in his heart and wish he could see you? Will that way it be, or will you be gone and forgotten as far as your kids are concerned? What kind of influence are you making? Son or daughter, are you serving God because of your mother? Are you serving God as you should, as your mother would want you to be? Is she proud of you? Would she be proud of you if she were here today? Are you following her purpose and her design? Has she followed God? Some of you here this morning, your mama prayed for you. Those prayers will not be forgotten. God's keeping a record. But I'm asking you, are you following her dream for you as a son or daughter? Or are you breaking her heart Even as I speak this morning, I think this is a pretty serious thing for us here. If so, do something about it. Bow your hearts with me and just pray with me today in your way. In your way. Pray out loud if you want to. But pray in your heart for sure today. Repeat out loud with me. All, everybody. I invite all of you to join. Dear God, I thank you for my mother. I thank you for the influence that she had upon my life for godliness. Lord, I'm afraid that I have disappointed her. I haven't lived up to her ideal. I haven't lived up to God's expectations either. And here I am today crying out, God, help me. God, help me with my struggles.